It does touch our hearts. I hope you can say it's well with your soul today. And that your eyes are on the Lord today. Before I start this morning, I want to thank all of you that have participated in the Bridge Festival this year and putting up the tent and working in the tent and making cookies and just helping out wherever it was needed. And, you know, what a privilege it is to be able to do some of the things, you know, as we see the world beat a path to our door each and every year. And I didn't want to go, you know, another day without thanking all of you that have done what you could. You know, we touch lives, don't we? We touch lives and some of those experiences that we don't even realize. And one day, you know, when we get to glory, we'll see those individuals there walking down Glory Avenue, if that's what it's called. And maybe it's because of us. We don't know. We just don't know. God's got a marvelous, marvelous plan. Last week, I preached on the very power of God that we saw there in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John going into the temple and the salvation experience there that comes through the very power of God. And we learned where God is, there's power. God's in here this morning because the indwelling Holy Spirit in each and every one of our lives, He's here today, He's here in each and every one of our lives, every single moment of every single day of our lives. Because we are saved, we have that presence of Him in our lives. But the second point, if you recall, I mentioned last week was every time we come to church, we ought to come expecting something. So many times we don't. We just come and expect the service to be done at a certain period of time, and then we go home, and what did we expect, or what did we receive? We ought to come expecting to hear from God Himself. So with those two thoughts in mind, I want you to stand this morning as we give glory to God's Word. I want you to go to the Gospel of John. John chapter number 1. Now, this is something that you've heard. This is something that you know. This is something that you've experienced. You've probably not only read this, but you've read it several times. And I'm just going to read the first 15 verses here of John 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these words, Lord, that The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Father, we know that is the truth today. We beheld the very person of Jesus Christ, and because of him, we live. We move, and we have our very being because of him. And so, Father, I pray right now that you bless your word. Not what I say, but bless your word. We've read the holy word of God. What a privilege. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This whole chapter of the Gospel of John, this first chapter, is talking about Jesus being the Word of God. The Word of God. This Gospel is the last of the Gospels that was written. It was written about probably 85 AD, and so it's the last of those. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what we call synoptic Gospels. They have some of the same teaching, some of the same experiences, some of the same visions, and some of the same individuals in them. But the Gospel of John's different than the first three Gospels. It shares with us a side of the Lord Jesus Christ that the others didn't give us. Because I believe when we look at it as the Apostle John is writing this, he is that one, that beloved one who is close to the Lord, and he is experiencing many of the things. He's that disciple that's on the inner circle with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's that close one with him. And so John is with Christ, and he shows us some of the unique moments of Jesus' life here in this this gospel. I plan on maybe for the next few weeks, maybe to be preaching in the Gospel of John and keeping that thing, those things in mind. But the key verses of this gospel are in chapter number 20 at the end of the gospel, chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And those words say, and many other signs truly did Jesus do in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. In other words, John says, there's many other things that Jesus did that I saw, that I experienced, that I really laid my hands and my eyes upon, and I saw the Lord Jesus do. And he said, many other things did he do that are not written, and I didn't write them down. But he says, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Have life through his name. So that's the reason John's writing this gospel to you and I today. And so he starts out here painting a picture, basically, of the Lord Jesus Christ being the very Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, there in that first verse. When we look at this, when we look at the very first phrase of that, it gives us three thoughts. In the beginning was the Word. And then when we look at that, it says that he was there pre-existent before time. Now we don't understand it. But God gave time and brought time into existence for you and I, for mankind. Time became for us. God didn't need time, and before time began, God was and has always been. He didn't need time. He existed prior to time. And you say, how can anything be prior to time? I don't know. I can't understand it. Time dominates so much of our lives, doesn't it? We start on time. We end on time. We keep our time by years and how old we are and all of those things by time. Time dominates our lives. And we find there in the first chapter of Genesis that in the evening and the morning were the first day, and God divided that. If you have a chronological Bible, you'll find that this John 1:1 is the very first verse. This precedes chronologically what we see there in Genesis 1:1. This is prior to time. But this little verse here says that Jesus has always existed. And when you look there at that little word was, in verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word. And that little word was means has always been. Now I want you to contrast verse 1 to verse number 6. If you look at verse number 6 down there, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The word was there means to become or to became. Jesus then has always been. John, in that little word, was to become or will be brought into the world. But before time, God started all of this, and he calls it the beginning. We have a mindset that has a start and a finish in life, don't we? We have that in our minds. That's what we live by. And so we see that. But here we find that first thought then is the pre-existent Lord Jesus Christ before time. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, it tells us Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, regardless of time. I'm looking forward, and I don't know if you are. Now, this kind of blows our minds, I realize, but I'm looking forward to the time when there is no time. You say, well, how will there ever be a time when there is no time? Eternity. One of these days, we will step out of history into eternity with Christ. We find here in this first verse, in the beginning was the Word, that Jesus Christ is the constant Word, the unchanging Word of God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. If you look at the second part, and the Word was with God, that means that, you know, what do you think God and Jesus, Father and Son, did before time began? Well, do you think they communicated? Yeah. I think they did. And the Word was with God. What was it like then? We don't know. We don't have a clue. Well, if they were always and have always been, what was it like for the God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit forever? There was time. I find a little verse that kind of gives us that idea. In Jesus' high holy prayer in John chapter 17, it's his high priestly prayer. Jesus says this as he's praying to his heavenly Father. He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. Now, in that little word there, glorify thou me with the glory which we had before the world was. Now, I don't know what all took place and what's all transpired in the glory of God together with God the Son. I can only imagine. But here we see in that second little phrase, and the Word was with God, Jesus was with God the Father, always present with God in the heavenlies. And this teaches us that Jesus is God with God. God with God. And he was with God when they formed man together there in Genesis 1:26. They were together. They were together when they created the world and spoke it into existence. They were together, God the Son and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. They were together when the plan of redemption was formed. Take your Bible real quick and keep your finger there in John, but I want you to go to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, if you would, please. The book of Ephesians. Go to the right there. Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse number 4. The plan of redemption, they were there together. And in verse number 4, look what it says in Ephesians 1, 4. It says this, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, here, that's an amazing statement that you and I today who are Christians, that God created you and I in Christ before the world was ever spoken into existence. We were in his mind before time. And I got to thinking about that, and it just kind of blew me away as I was thinking about that. I was wondering, what did they do before time? This is what they were doing. They were thinking about you and me before time even begins. Blew me away. Don't think that you're not important to God. You and I have been important to God from time before time till now. And it'll never come to the place in existence where you and I are never important to him. But Jesus was with God there in the plan of redemption. From eternity past, Jesus was with the Father. And now turn back to the book of Acts. Right here, it's real close to where you are. So the next little book there in Acts, I want you to go to chapter 2 there in the book of Acts. You say, well, how did this all come about? Well, in Acts chapter 2, and you look at verse 23, it tells us how this all came into being. Okay? In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, it says, him, speaking, that's the Lord Jesus, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Okay? In other words, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit got together in this determinate counsel together. Okay? Says, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. They got together, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, got together and determined that one day Jesus Christ would be slain by the creature. By the creature. Us. He's the creator. Were the creature, but it was determined by the determinate counsel of them together. They didn't ask anyone else. There was no one else. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit determined that redemption would be through the death of the Son. And so we see that Jesus Christ here in this first verse is constant. He is communicating with the Father. The Word was made flesh. We find here, but in the first verse there, the Word was with God. And the last thing there is the Word was God. Word was God. So when we look at it here, you know, Jesus is pretty controversial, isn't he? Controversial. He came preaching repentance, and you can find that in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. He came preaching repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And people thought, that's pretty strange. You know, the ones he came and preached to, that's strange. Strange preaching. But then he started healing people. And then he started doing miracles, and people thought, man, he's a prophet. Remember, Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some say, well, some of them think you're John the Baptist. Some of them think you're a prophet. Some think you're Elijah, come back from the dead. He said, but who do you say that I am? You know, and that's the same question that better be important in your life and in mine. Who do you say Jesus Christ is today? Peter gives us the correct answer. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But he started healing people and doing miracles, and people thought he was a prophet there in chapter 3 of John, verse number 2. And then he spoke the word of God with authority, and people said, we've never heard it like this before. He speaks as though one with authority knows what he's talking about. Well, sure, he is the word of God, isn't it? And they thought he was great then. And he had hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands of people flocking to follow him. He fed 5,000 at one time. In another place, he fed 4,000 at one time. So they followed him. Why? He was doing great miracles. But when he started to claim himself to be equal with God, he's no longer a prophet. He's no longer a good teacher. He's no longer someone to follow. They called him a blasphemer and thought to kill him. The Lord Jesus Christ became very controversial. Some loved him, and many and most hated him. Philip one time asked him, Lord, show us the Father, and that's sufficient for us. Just show us the Father, and we'll believe you. And he said, Philip, have I been such a long time with you? You followed me for 3 years, and have I been such a long time with you, Philip, and you don't understand that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Don't you understand? I wonder what Philip thought after he heard that. You know, I wonder today how many people have heard and heard and heard and heard. Do we really understand? Even today, society is willing to accept Jesus Christ as being a great teacher of morality. They'll accept that. They'll accept the Lord Jesus as being a very meek individual in life, and that he led a lot of people down the right path. They'll accept that. He lived. They'll even accept that. They'll even accept in history there was a man named Jesus, and he lived and he died. But society and around the world, they will refuse to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jehovah's Witnesses today had a couple stop by the house not too long ago. We sat on the back porch, and I said, okay, let's just talk a while. I said, let me just ask you one question. Who is Jesus Christ? He's a great prophet. He's a great man. I said, okay, yeah, you're right. He taught morality. He gave us the right way to go. I said, no, okay, now let me ask you one other question. Is Jesus Christ God? Oh, no. He's a brother to Satan. He's a created being. God created Jesus. I said, that's where you and I are completely at opposite ends of the spectrum of spirituality. If you don't accept who Jesus Christ is, you're as lost as if you'd ever, 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 never heard his name. They didn't like that. But it's truth. It's truth. He's the creative word. Look at verse number 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the creator God. Jesus was there and he spoke, as we find there in Genesis 1. All he had to do was, you know, I don't know whether he thought about it. I'm sure he did, but he spoke everything into existence from the infinite particles that live and move and give us our very being, to the celestial galaxies that cover the heavens. Just one of my favorite verses. I want you to go there. Genesis 1. Go there. You'll love this. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 3. Any of you know what verse Genesis 1, 3 says? Okay, this is good. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Man, the sun's coming up. I'm looking out there and the sun starts to come up. But before there, that God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, in the original, it's not like this. Okay? You know what the original is? Two words. Light be. I like that. Light be. And there's light. I read a scientific article the other day, and I thought it was pretty neat. Now, some of you in here are brilliant people. I know that. Tommy, I'm going to throw you out there. You've controlled satellites most of your life, okay? They don't know what light is. They don't know what light is. They can break it down. They can break it into separate prisms, and you can have the colors of the spectrum of light. We know what light can do, but they absolutely, as I read that article, I was amazed. We use it. We use it in many different ways, but they do not know what it is. I know where it came from. I know how it got here. I know where its originality started from. Light be. That's my God. And that's your God today. He's the creator. All things were made by him. Colossians 1:17 tells us that by him all things consist and are held together. You realize if God didn't hold everything together, everything would fly apart. How much gravity does it take us to stay here on this old earth? I don't know. Enough. I'm glad we got it. Light be. So we see here four truths. He's always been. Genesis or John 1:1. He has spoken to us. He has reality for us. God's real. He's not a figment of our imaginations. He's real. He's here today. And he makes the very way for you and I. He says of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Look at verse 14 and we'll close. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He dwelt among us. He's our personal God, the personal Word. This is basically the clearest verse in all of the Bible about the incarnation. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, the incarnation is a mystery. No one knows how God did it. God just one day said to a virgin named Mary, you are going to conceive and bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. I don't know how God caused that to happen. Neither does anyone else, but he did. And in 9 months' time, she gave birth to the very Son of God. The incarnation is very, very mysterious. We don't know how God did that. I don't know exactly how he saved my life either. But I know he did. I know what it took. It's just as big a miracle to save my sin-sick soul and yours as it was to create the world in existence. Greater than the creation of all the world. Why was it greater? Because it took a greater Savior. All we know is that God chose Mary, and she conceived and gave birth. God was born just like you and I. He grew in the womb just like you and I. And the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among men just like you and I. He ate just like you and I. He got tired just like you and I. The Creator. Now this blows my mind. The Creator was born of the creature. Why? Why would the Creator God allow the creature to give birth to him? Scripture says he was tempted in all points, such as we are, yet without sin. It's the only way. It says he dwelt among us. I like that term. He dwelt among us means he pitched his tent. He pitched his tent in our lives. He came down and started living with us. He became like us so that we might become like him. He worked among us, he prayed among us, he suffered among us, he died among us. And yet, he's unrecognized by most. The incarnation is the master mystery. Why would God want to live with us? One word, love. For God so loved the world, you and I. that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at verse 18 and we're done. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. What was Jesus' message when he came? He came to declare to you and I God the Father. He wants us to see his heavenly Father. He desired for us to know him, and that's the reason he came. As I mentioned, John 17, Jesus said, I glorified thee, Father, on the earth. Philippians 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and came and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He wanted to declare before our eyes God the Father. That's the reason he came. That was in the determinate counsel that Jesus Christ would come and die so that we might see the Father. Jesus is the life of God here on earth. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh forth, but not to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the devil wants to do. Kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant living. You know, as I close today, I want to close, I guess, maybe with the verse that I come to know years and years and years ago from Lou Miller. And it's the same verse that I hope that maybe you understand in your life. When God turned the light on in your life and you became a believer in Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 6, it says this, but God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, the only reason that you and I today can say, I am saved, I'm a Christian, I know it, it's because God turned his light on in my life and in yours. That's all. That's all. And verse number 7 says, and we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power, that salvation power, might be of God and not of us. It means you didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't have a single thing to do with it. God turned the light on in my life. It's not what I do. It's what he did that saved my sin-sick soul. You can't do anything for salvation. All we can do is praise God for turning the light on in our lives. Amen? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Let's stand. What a privilege today to say, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Wow. How many of you would say, if God takes us home today, I'm ready? Ready. Father, thank you today. What a privilege getting up early, coming in, sharing with fellow believers the Word of God, and Lord, what a day. What a day you've blessed us with. Lord, may we not take what we have as a privilege of being a child of God for granted, but to praise and to glorify you for who you are. Dismiss us. Lord, what a day. And we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.
Thank you. Thank you.